talking about the transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, and we're going to talk about the glory. Matter of fact, one of the things, that if you took all the attributes of God and you summed them all up, if you took His righteousness, if you took His holiness, if you took His love, if you took His wrath, if you took every attribute of God, it could be summed up in one word, and that one word is glory. As a matter of fact, when God the Father appears, He always appears in glory. He always appears in the presence of glory. As a matter of fact, when Jesus ascended up to heaven, He ascended in the cloud of glory. And it says that when Jesus Christ comes back again, He's going to come back again in a cloud of glory. The Greek word there is doxa. And, it is a beautiful, beautiful word. When you look at doxa, the glory of God. God allowed three of His disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go with Him up this journey. And this morning, I want you to journey with me as we go to the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9. Let's read God's Word. I'm going to read it on the screen because I can see it better than I can in my small print Bible. About 8 days after these words, He took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As He was praying, the appearance of His face changed, and His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with Him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of His death, which He was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep. And when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men who were standing with Him. As the two men were departing from Him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what He said. That's just like Peter, not knowing what He said. While He was saying this, a cloud appeared, and that was the glory cloud. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is My Son, the Chosen One. Listen to Him." After the voice had spoken, only Jesus was found. They kept silent in those days, told no one what they had seen. They kept silent in those days and told no one what they had seen. Let's look at this passage of Scripture this morning. Before we do, let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your glory. I thank You for Your glory. And God, I pray that as I speak this morning, that Your glory would overshadow this place. That there would be a presence of Your glory here today. Not because we deserve it, God, because we don't, but because that's just who You are. And God, I ask You that You'd show Yourself faithful and You'd show Yourself strong to those who are listening today. And God, I pray that You'd move Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look this morning at what the disciples were doing and what Jesus was doing in their lives, and help us today to take a journey as well. The glory comes from a time of prayer. The glory comes from an extended time of prayer. You see, his disciples had gathered together, and He took three of them. He said, "Okay, now I'm going to take you guys, and we're going to go up the mountain. We're going to go up the mountain." I want to ask you a question this morning. When's the last time? When's the last time that you took time to journey up your mountain? Journey up the mountain. The glory comes from a time of prayer. Take time to journey up the mountain. Where's your mountain at? Where's that place that you get alone with God at? That you spend time with Him alone and in that quietness? Are there special places in your life where you go meeting? Let me ask you that. How many of us have a special place in your life where you go meet Jesus. I tell you, I have experienced that, and I've been had the privilege of going. There's certain places that I go that I love to go to where I experience the very presence of God. That I've had those mountaintop experiences. And one of those places was on top of a very tall hill. And on top of that hill, I could see in all directions. And just being there on top of that hill and being able to see all the surrounding area and praying and seeking God's face. One of my favorite places to go to here is the High Bank Rollaway. The High Bank. How many has been to the High Banks before? That is one of my special places to go. To be able to sit out there on the platform and to be able to pray and to seek God's face and God's direction. That's one of my mountains. That's one of the places where I go to. You see, He took Peter, James, and John. Jesus did. He said, come on, let's go up the mountain. Take time to journey up the mountain wherever it may be for you. You see, there's a lot of things in our life that can distract us. There's a lot of things in our life that can keep us from going up the mountain. I remember one time God said to me, it's time for you need to take some time off to go pray. How many of God's ever said, you just need to take some time off to go pray? Has that happened to anybody else? But why tell God at that time, God, I'm too busy. Don't ever tell God that you're too busy. It's not a really smart thing to do. God, I'm too busy. Take time to go journey the mountain. You see, it was a crucial time in Jesus' life. It was a crucial time in His life because His face, again, was set towards Jerusalem. He knew the mission that He was going to accomplish, and He needed the mountain experience. He was all man, just like you are and like I am, and yet He was all God at the same time, and He needed to go to that mountain. Not did Jesus need to go to the mountain. And if the Son of God needed to go get alone with the Father for a while, then you and I ought to as well. You and I ought not to be any different than the Son of God. But not only did Jesus need the time up on the mountain, but His disciples needed that time up on the mountain as well. You see, Jesus had just told them that He was going to die, and He was going to be buried, and He was going to resurrect the third day. He'd already told His disciples that, and not only did He tell His disciples that, but then He said, you're to take up your cross daily and follow Me. And I want you to know that you or I or anybody else will not be able to take up your cross and follow Him unless you begin to journey up that mountain to get in the very presence of God. So, we need to also allow God to direct the prayer service. They got up to the mountain where it was that Jesus was going to pray, and He directed what was going on at that service on that day. It wasn't the disciples directing it. They didn't have a preset way that they was going to do it. But they allowed the Holy Spirit to show them and to direct them during the time of prayer. During your extended time of prayer upon the mountain, you need to allow God to direct your service. You need to allow God to direct your prayer service. To allow Him to tell you when to be quiet and listen. To allow Him to be able to tell you, okay, it's time that you need to sing praises. And I'm thankful that when I'm doing that and everybody else is, that it's on the mountain alone if I'm going to be singing. Kind of, you've heard my wife, bless her heart, I was singing the old rugged cross one day on a hill far away, and she said, man, I wish that's where you were at. But I want to tell you what, during the times of a prayer on the mountain, I really don't think it matters what I sound like. Because I'm not singing for anybody else. I'm singing for Him and praising Him. Allow God to direct that time in your life. Don't sleep amidst the glory. I find this interesting here. It gives me comfort. How many has ever been spending time with God and you went to sleep during your prayer time? I find that the older that I get, the more that I do that. Is anybody else that way? You know, there's times I said, Lord, I can't close my eyes anymore. I'm not going to open them up again. And by the way, you can't pray with your eyes open, right? Hello. You can pray with your eyes open, okay? And I found, you know, I'm not real good at sitting still. I don't know if you've ever gathered that or not. I don't like to sit still. But for me to sit there with my eyes closed, a lot of times if I do, I'll go to sleep. The disciples got up there, and I find it interesting. There's times when Jesus invites them to come with him, and there's times that he says to pray, and we find them asleep. We find them sleeping. We find them, you know, being very sleepy, and their eyes were very heavy here, and they went to sleep. I mean, we don't know how high up the mountain they were. We don't know how long a journey it was up that mountain, but we do know that they were on top of the mountain. They had climbed it, and no doubt that they were tired. It was getting late, and probably late in the day by what I can study and see here. But for whatever reason, they got up to the top. And they went to sleep while he was there. When Jesus invited them to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, what did they do when they got there? It says their eyes were heavy and they went to sleep. And Jesus woke them up and said, pray. Don't sleep, but pray. Pray. So, don't sleep and miss the glory of God. There are times when we go to God in prayer, and that's exactly what he wants us to do, is spend time resting in him. And, you know, I kind of felt bad about it until I saw that the disciples did it. One of my heroes of the faith, Adrian Rogers, was with Adrian sitting and eating lunch one day. And Adrian was talking about extended times of prayer. And he said, guys, I just want to confess to you, there's times that when I go to God in prayer and I'm in his very presence, that I'm so relaxed that I fall asleep. Wow. So relaxed in his presence that he goes to sleep. We don't know why the disciples did, but they did. Glory comes from a time of prayer. Glory doesn't come without the time of prayer. Some of the greatest days of ministry that I've ever seen, that I've ever, ever seen, came from an extended time of prayer. On the day of Pentecost, they had been praying for 10 days. 10 days they had been in the upper room praying. Not working, not doing anything but praying. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them on the day of Pentecost. The glory of God came down and rested upon them that day on the day of Pentecost. They'd been praying for 10 days. I want you to know that glory comes from an extended time of prayer. And if the Orchard Church is going to amount to anything in Traverse City and impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to be because God's presence is here. It's going to be because God's glory is here. And the only way God's glory is going to be here is through an extended time of prayer. And spending time with him in prayer. Mapping out and looking at the direction of God and the study that I did and during a doctrinal research paper that I did a few years ago. During that doctrinal research paper, I found out that every church that grew significantly, every church that grew from a small rural church to a large church, whatever that may look like, every single one of them, there's one common denominator. They had different styles of worship. They had all kinds of different things that were different. But there was one common denominator. And that one common denominator was every single one had a significant, moving prayer ministry. And it all began through prayer. So take time to journey up your mountain. Glory comes upon people. Glory comes upon people. We know that it came upon Jesus. The glory came upon Jesus here. And again, if you took all the attributes of God and summed them up, you would find glory. And if you took all the good things of God and you summed them up in one person, that person was Jesus Christ, because he is God. He is God today. He was God then. He is God today. And I want you to know that when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, his disciples got to see what he looked like before he came to the earth. And his disciples got to see what he's going to look like when we get to heaven one of these days. Well, glory. Y'all need to loosen up a little bit this morning. That used to be one of my favorite sayings. Well, doxa. Well, glory. One of these days, we will get to see what the disciples saw. As a matter of fact, if you look at the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation, you'll find that his countenance was glowing white, just like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says his eyes are as a flame of fire penetrating through us. You see, Jesus received the glory, and it came upon him at that time, and his disciples saw him in his pre-existent state and in his post-existent state, and they got to see him for who he really was. This is right after Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and just after Jesus had said, I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die and I'm going to come back to life. Now they got to see him in his glorified state. They woke up. They woke up when the glory came down. The glory was upon Moses and Elijah. In that order too, Moses and Elijah. The glory was already upon them because they had been in the very presence of Jesus. They had been in the presence of Jesus. They had been in the presence of God the Father in heaven. And the glory was already upon them. It didn't come upon them. It was already upon them. When they came in there to talk with Jesus that day, and by the way, they knew who they were. There's people today who wonder, well, will we know each other in heaven? How many's ever wondered that question? Will we know each other? All I can tell you today is the fact that the writer here knew that it was Elijah. The writer here knew that it was Moses. There was no question about who they were. There was absolutely no question whatsoever. It was Elijah and it was Moses. And so if Moses and Elijah are known in heaven, I suppose that so will we know each other in heaven. And that's just a side note for today. But the glory was upon them. The Shekinah, the brilliancy was upon them. Now I want you to understand something here. Moses and Elijah were men who God used in a mighty way. Moses was the one who God used to give the law. And Elijah was the prophet. Elijah, and so we have here the law and the prophets meeting with Christ. And the glory was upon these guys because they had been in heaven. And for some reason, God chose to send them back to talk with Jesus, James and John and Peter. And I love the topic that they was talking about. Oh, I love the topic that they were talking about. They were talking about Jesus. They were talking about what Jesus was getting ready to do. They were saying Jesus is getting ready to go, and he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He's going to die there for an atonement for mankind's sin, past, present, and future. You see, Moses and Elijah were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were looking forward to Jesus that was going to come. They was excited. Jesus was going to do what he had told him about in the law and the prophets. They was excited. They got to be on the mountain that day with Jesus and communicate, man, I am so thankful that you're going to go do what we prophesied about. I am so thankful that you are going to go and complete the law so that people can have a relationship with God. Because what Moses did in giving the law through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit just showed mankind how far they fell short. Moses represents the law, and Elijah the prophets, both of whom find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The glory overshadowed Peter, John, and James. The glory overshadowed them. You see, Jesus, it transfigured him. I mean, when they saw him, it was, whoa, wow. When's the last time that you've been wowed by Jesus? When's the last time that you've been wowed? Been wowed by him? He is an awesome God, holy and righteous. And we get the chance to have fellowship with him. We're joint heirs with him. That ought to make us wow. The glory overshadowed. It overshadowed James and John and Peter. It came upon them. It was just kind of enveloped them. You see, Moses had experienced this one other time. Moses had experienced the glory, the Shekinah glory of God, when he was up on the mountain, when God was getting him the Ten Commandments. And then Moses veiled himself when he came back down out of the mountain, because when he came back down out of the mountain, the glory was departing. And they didn't want to see the glory depart off of him. But this time the glory was not departing. This time the glory overshadowed and it consumed Peter, James, and John. And soon, the glory was going to envelop their lives in such a way that you and I are the results of what they did. Because they was in the very presence of Jesus. The glory comes to make a proclamation. The glory comes to make a proclamation. And that proclamation was really simple. You see, Peter had said, wow, Jesus, it's good for us to be here. And if you've ever been in the presence of, whoa, I'm about on the edge there. If you've ever been in the presence of Jesus, it's good to be there, amen? And if you've been in the mountaintop and where you've experienced the God's presence in an awesome and a supernatural way, you don't want to leave. You want to stay there. And so Peter said, let's just build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I want you to know that Father couldn't take any of that. Because Moses and Elijah are not on equal par with Jesus. There is no way. And so when they said, well, we're just going to build three tabernacles for you. And we're going to build one for each one, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The Father couldn't contain himself anymore. And the glory overshadowed them. And out of the glory, out of the Shekinah cloud, the voice says, this is my Son. He's not equal with Moses and Elijah. He supersedes the prophet and the law. He supersedes Moses and Elijah. He is my Son. God the Father interrupted Peter's speech. And I love it when God interrupts and steps in and says, hey, let's get this straight. God interrupts and says, and by the way, when he speaks, it's not an interruption. It's not an intrusion. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. This is my Son. And then God the Father, you know, he identified him as his Son, but also he said, you need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. He stopped Peter right in the middle of his speech. He said, this is my Son, and you need to listen to him. He identified who Jesus was. He had already identified him to Peter, evidently, earlier, because Peter said, upon this rock I'll build, you know, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven.
So the Father in heaven has already revealed to Peter who Jesus was. Now, Peter got to hear the words himself from the Father in heaven. This is my Son. Listen to him. Well, what was Jesus telling them? What was Jesus telling them? Jesus was telling them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. Jesus was telling them that I'm going to be buried. They're going to persecute me. They're going to beat me. They're going to spit upon me. And they're going to do all kinds of things against me. And I'm going to be crucified. And I am going to rise again on the third day. And I'm doing this so that you can have a relationship with me. So that you can have a time with me intimately. Father said, listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. And I'm telling you today, you need to listen to what the Father is saying today. The Father is saying to you today, if you've never trusted me, if you've never trusted my Son Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to do so today. You need to confess your sins because my Son died to forgive you. My Son went to a cross. And he was killed, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he's sitting on the throne right now. And you know what he's doing on the throne right now? Interceding for you and I. There's some of you who've never done that in your life. You have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. It's about time that you do so. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. You may never be on the mountain again. You may not have the opportunity like you have right now to surrender your life to him. So I'd invite you to do that. How do you do that? By confessing your sin and placing your faith in Jesus Christ. By praying a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that you're the Savior. Now I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and come into my life. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praying a prayer like that, not to me, but to God, allows you to have a relationship with him. Confessing your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, while I was praying that there, or you'd like to do so, put that on your communication card just today. Put that on your communication card right now. So let's make it personal for just a few moments. Well, actually, I'm here for quite a few moments this morning, but making it personal is going to be quick. Go to your mountain or closet and stay there until you experience some of God's glory. There's some of you are facing things today that you really don't even like. You're kind of ticked off about some things, and you're upset about some things. My challenge to you, my friend, is to spend some time in God's presence. Go to that closet. And I don't mean literally a closet, because when I talk about going to the closet, some people think, well, you know, if I went to the closet, you couldn't get in my closet. No, I'm not necessarily talking about your closet. I'm talking about getting in a place where you can go to meet Jesus. Where is that place that you go meet Jesus at? My challenge for you is spend some time today. Spend some time there this week of getting in that place. If you have to go journey up your mountain, go journey up your mountain. And experience God's glory. The experience will be fearfully awesome. When they experienced the glory of God, when the glory of God overshadowed them on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says that Peter, James, and John were great and fearful. Now, Moses and Elijah weren't fearful because they had already been in heaven for hundreds of years. But now we find that here is Moses and Elijah, but Peter, James, and John were afraid. They were awestruck in his presence. And I just want to ask you, when's the last time that you've been awestruck in the very presence of God? That you just, whoa. You've been awestruck because you've been in His presence. The experience will leave you fearfully awesome. This will leave you with a changed course of life. Did Peter blow it after they came down off the mountain? You all shake your head. Did Peter blow it? Yes, he did. Did James and John blow it? Did they mess up afterwards? Did they sin? Yes. Matter of fact, we're going to find James and John just not too far over here in the book of Luke as I'm preaching through that, saying, hey, let's call fire out of heaven and consume those people that didn't listen to us. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus because you're not one of us. It's about the kingdom. It's not about us. You see, they blew it. But I promise you that their life was never the same after being on the mountain. When Peter said it was good for us to be here, he knew what he was talking about. It was good. It was good. And I want you to know, when you come into the very presence of God, your life will be altered. You come in and experience the glory by prayer. By prayer. And now we're going to act upon what I spoke about this morning. It's one thing for me to get up here and speak for 15 to 25 minutes, however long it's been. But I want you to know it's another thing for you to be able to take what I share with you today and apply it to your own life right now. And so we're going to spend some time right now adoring Him. Acts is adoring, confessing, thanksgiving, and supplication. So we're going to experience that right now.